ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Chapter 1, Canto 3. Text 1, Questions by Vidura. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Etat Pura Prishto Maitreyo Bhagavan Kila Kshatra Vanam Pavishtena Tyaktva Swagriham Ridamat. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, after renouncing his prosperous home and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked this question of his grace Maitreya Rishi. Yadva ayam mantrakit vo Bhagavan Akileshwara Paravendra griham hitva paviveshat masat kritam. What else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own, and he did not take any care of Duryodhana's house. Purport. According to the Gaudiya Achintya Beda Beda Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is also Sri Krishna. For example, Sri Davandam is non-different from Sri Krishna, Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam, because at Vrindavan the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency. Similarly, the house of the Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. It is mentioned here that the Lord identified the house with his own self. Thus, the house of the Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan, and Vidura should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. Therefore, the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and discuss transcendental knowledge. For a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization, and therefore Vidura took advantage of a family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi. So, this verse is explaining how Vidura quit palace and took that as an opportunity to travel places of pilgrimage and also to obtain the association of Maitreya Muni. I thought of another verse, although it's a little bit later. Nonetheless, this is an extension of this very point, so I'm going to read it to further illustrate this point. This is later in the chapter. Described how Svayam Dhanur Dvari Nidhaya Mayam Vratu Puro Mamasu Tadito Pi Sa Itam Athyul Bana Karna Banaya Gata Vyato Yad Urumanayana. Thus, being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. This is verse is spoken right after the statement was made by Duryodhana, insulting Vidura, who said to him, who asked him to come here, the son of a kept mistress? He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath. This was Duryodhana's statement, who was very disturbed by the actions of Vidura, who appeared to be acting on behalf of so-called enemies of Duryodhana, the Pandavas. And therefore he was claiming that we have maintained him in our palace, we have kept him and taken care of him, and he's acting against our interests. Therefore, please throw him out of the palace, and the only thing he should take with him, even though he had rightful claim to many of the opulences, was the only thing that he was being allowed to take him with him was his breath. And then, thus being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27, it is stated, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani savasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. A conditioned soul is absorbed in material existence under the influence of different modes of external energy. Absorbed in the false ego, he thinks he is doing everything by himself. The external energy of the Lord, the material nature, is fully under the control of the Supreme Lord, and the conditioned soul is fully under the grip of the external energy. Therefore, the conditioned soul is fully under the control of the law of the Lord. But due to illusion only, he thinks himself independent in his activities. Duryodhana was acting under such influence of the external nature by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted that great soul who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In other words, Vidura had been giving advice to Duryodhana to give up his envious mentality towards the Pandavas. He even told him, he said, you must return the legitimate share to Yudhisthira, who has no enemies and who has been forbearing through untold sufferings due to your offenses. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the revengeful Bhima, breathing heavily like a snake. Surely you are afraid of him. That was Vidura's suggestion to Duryodhana. He didn't very much appreciate it, and that's why he said that he thought, although Vidura was thinking of the welfare of Duryodhana, he was actually understanding that the Pandavas are great devotees of the Lord. All they are asking is to have their rightful claim. You are usurping their claim. And the Pandavas, because they're great devotees of the Lord, certainly the Lord will act on behalf of the Pandavas and protect his devotees. And therefore, if he's going to act on behalf of the Pandavas, the consequences for you will be not as you think they will be. They're going to be according to the will of the Lord. Therefore, he was definitely speaking to Duryodhana in a compassionate way. But Duryodhana, being afflicted by envy, being afflicted by the influence of material nature, as here described, he cannot appreciate the sound advice of Vidura, and therefore, instead of accepting the sound advice, he acted in a vengeful way and asked him to please leave. So it's clear that Vidura was not being partial. He was actually representing the interest of the Lord, who always acts for the benefit of all living beings. But nonetheless, Vidura could not see that, and he was thinking that Vidura had sided with the enemy. And therefore, as it's described here, that Duryodhana was acting under the influence of the external energy, the external nature, by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted that great soul who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path toward his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme, yet he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, and instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within, because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. The word gatta vyatta, being without being sorry, is significant here, because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow, because his brother was meant for ruination. And thus he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted here both internally and externally. So this is, as I said, an elaborate explanation to the verse that we read, which was describing how Vidura, for a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization, and therefore Vidura took advantage of a family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi. So here we were actually just discussing this point in answer to a question last night, how the Lord's internal energy can act, external energy can act in an internal way favorable for the devotee. And Prabhupada very nicely explains that it was the external energy acting with respect to Duryodhana, and it was actually bringing him to his ruination. Duryodhana is insulting of a great saint like Vidura. Duryodhana's envy towards the Pandavas, Duryodhana's acting in this way, tightly under the grip of the Lord's external energy, yet thinking himself to be independent, even though Vidura was representing the Lord's internal energy to him. Nonetheless, Duryodhana was fully acting under the influence of that external energy. But how did Vidura see it? Because Vidura, as Prabhupada explains, has a renounced temperament, and worldly attractions can never satisfy him. He was never even attracted to this royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave that place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So as we can see, sometimes even a devotee of the Lord may act in a particular way which may not appear to be directly in the service of the Lord. Just as Vidura remained in the palace, Bhishma, because he had some obligations to Duryodhana and the Kauravas, although he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he fought on the side of the Kauravas, and yet, as we know, with internally, his renounced temperament, his devotion to the Lord was always manifested in his heart. But still, sometimes a devotee, due to some worldly obligations, may have to actually act according to those obligations. But it doesn't mean that even though he's acting externally in that particular way, that it's the external energy which is going to punish him. It's not that at all. The internal energy is acting in such a way. The devotee accepts that, yes, he's waiting for the indication of the Supreme Lord. And here, as we see, Vidura accepted the external energy's actions upon Duryodhana, he accepted in a way that within himself that this is Krishna. And therefore he said, Prabhupada explains right here, what is it? Is it here? No. He says, yes. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yet, he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. So here, the acts of the external energy to be supreme. This is how he could see it. That was his vision. That Duryodhana was completely under the influence of the external energy. Nonetheless, he saw that the workings of the external energy to be the manifestation of the Supreme Lord, the internal energy of the Supreme Lord upon him. And this is in reference and also to the point that we were discussing last night of how a devotee accepts whatever may happen towards him as the will of the Supreme. He may see that another person is acting out of anger, out of greed. He's acting according to the modes of material nature. A devotee may think, well, I'll only accept what Krishna gives me by the actions of Krishna's devotees or Krishna's pure devotees. But for one who actually is on an advanced platform, he sees even the actions of the external energy as Krishna upon him. And then he accepts, yes, the actions of the external energy are supreme. Someone may say, why should I accept the behavior that Vidura may think? Why should I accept the behavior of Duryodhana? I should fight. I should fight for my right to stay in this palace. I should fight for my right to have my share of the palace. These things are rightfully my claim. But that's not how Vidura thought, this is the action. This is Krishna. Krishna's actually now acting in such a way to extricate me from this whole family relationship. I did everything within my power that I could possibly do to correct the situation. I tried my best to preach and to help Duryodhana to understand that, but yet Duryodhana could not accept it. And at some point, obviously at this point, Duryodhana acted in such a way that Vidura could see this is Krishna arranging the whole thing for me. Now I can leave. I've done everything I could. I'm not attached to the palace. I'm not attached to my share of the kingdom. I'm not attached to these family members who are envious of the Pandavas. And now he's thinking that this is acting in my best interest for me to really now manifest my fully renounced temperament so that I may go to the forest and, as Prabhupada is explaining here, take advantage of the association of Maitreya Rishi for deepening his realizations and his attachments to the Lord by hearing from him and asking questions to him. So, the word gata, yata, without being sorry, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow because his brother was meant for ruination. There it was. This is it. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Before Duryodhana. In other words, before Duryodhana became any more inflamed and could pick him up and toss him out of the palace, which was what Duryodhana's order was. Vidura said, no, I won't give you the opportunity to pick me up and throw me out. I will leave of my own choice. Thank you, Krishna. And therefore, Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted both internally and externally. Same action. Internally for Vidura, it released him from his family commitments, And externally, it acted for Duryodhana, because that act, among, of course, the other acts, such as the insulting of Draupadi, and led to his ruination. So, that is... And then, the, of course, the other point in this verse, the second verse that we read, is that why is it that Vidura would leave? You know, he said he used to enter the house as if it were his own, and he did not take any care of Duryodhana's house. And he said, what else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own. He did not take any care of the Yoda in his house. And he's speaking about Krishna. How Krishna considered the house of the Pandavas to be non-different from him, just as Vrindavan Dham is non-different from Sri Krishna. In the same way, the house of the Pandavas is non-different and a source of bliss for the Supreme Lord. So it is mentioned that here that the Lord identified the house with his own self. Thus the house of the Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan, and Vidura should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. Therefore, the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and to discuss transcendental knowledge. For a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization, and therefore Vidura took advantage of a family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi. Any questions? Yes.
Vidura was detached because he knew Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra were acting in the wrong way. But sometimes when you see like devotees, you know, they are serving together, and there is a particular service to which the devotee is attached, and he direct like, so he is doing that service, but sometimes he is also forced out of that service. So how do devotees understand that? Because like, this context is like someone is, the other person is also a devotee.
What?
Like there are two devotees, and like one devotee is also serving, the other devotee is also serving, and there is a misunderstanding, and the devotee, one of the devotees has to give up his service and come out. So in that condition, how do we understand that it's the internal energy or it's for our purification? How do we, like...
How does who understand?
The person who has removed out of the service. The devotee is attached to the service. And
huh?
He's serving nicely in that service.
Yes.
But because of some conditions, the other devotee, this is the context of devotees, all devotees working together.
Yes, I understand your point.
So if the devotee who goes out, how does he understand that it's the internal energy of the Lord, external energy of the Lord, he needs to actually fight for it, or he should just surrender?
This is a very, very general question, vague question, because circumstances could be on so many variations of circumstances which created the conflict. And generally, as we understand, is that if something happens due to some conflict between the devotees, at least we have a method for approaching a higher authority to resolve the conflict. And by the decision of the higher authority, if the higher authority has taken everything into consideration and makes a decision, then he accepts that the decision by the higher authorities is Krishna's will, and he acts upon it and accepts it internally. So that's how things work in universal affairs as well. There's the demigods, when there's conflict, they go to higher authorities. They look for a resolution amongst a superior authority. So they go to the Supreme Lord, or you know, they go to Lord Brahma, wherever it may be. You know, when there's this a misunderstanding, you know, just like who is it? Svayabhuva Manu came and was instructing Priyavrata, and Lord Brahma came and made the decision. So it's the same way. If we're existing in a society of devotees, and therefore we follow the system of authority. So it's not, and one may say, well, it looks like there was a conflict, some people were acting in a particular way, and then other people were acting in another way, and who was right and who was wrong. No, we go to the high authority, we accept their decision as supreme. And therefore, whatever the decision is, both parties accept the decision is for my best interest. That's the process.
One devotee asked me to ask you this question.
One devotee asked
me to ask you this question in context of some problem. So.
The devotee who asked you to ask this question should try to look for the decision from the higher authorities and submit themselves to them. And sometimes people, are convinced always that, they see everything from the absolute platform, that they're absolutely correct, and they'll fight and fight and fight. So they may get, they may get the position or the whatever it may be that they're looking for that they want, but they don't get Krishna's mercy. So, there are many examples of that. A person may get what they want, but they don't get the mercy of the Lord. If the higher authority doesn't make a decision and says, you decide amongst yourselves, sometimes that happens also. The higher authority will say, you have to make this decision yourselves. Then persons, that's when sometimes real person starts thinking, well, I'm the doer, I have to defend. It's always the safest position to take the humble position. And, to try to hear what others have to say about one's actions. That to assess oneself and look within one's own heart to determine if he's actually inflicted or with some of these motives or attachments that may be presented in the case of the particular conflict. And he has to look within himself. The tendency is always to see that somebody else is responsible. Somebody else is to blame. Anyways, that's an endless discussion. We can go on that topic for a long time, but I'm just speaking about general principles. And therefore, the ideal character and behavior of a devotee with other devotees is taking the humble position and looking within himself to see if there's anything that he's done to contribute to the problem instead of immediately blaming others for the problem. If he's not able to resolve that internally and he's still convinced that his actions, his behavior were right, then he has to somehow take it to a council of other people. If it's not going to go to a high authority, a council of other people to take their advice and accept their advice as representative of a higher authority. That's a better position to take than to simply fight adamantly for one's position on a false claim or a potentially false claim which has been improperly motivated due to some attachment to position.
Is this also Vidura, what happened to Vidura is also an example of how Krishna takes away your possessions and your family attachment and everything for pure devotee so that he is more attached to Krishna?
It can be. In Vidura's case, he saw it that way, but he was already detached. as explained that he was trying to act in the best interest of everyone and trying to bring about a peaceful resolution to the conflict. and by not showing favor, but trying to act on the interest of all family members. He was doing his best to actually carry that out, but also he could understand internally that Duryodhana was not going to change.
This Vidura story reminds me of Vibhishana. Vibhishana also was in the same situation.
Yes. Yes. There are many other situations there, but Vidura is a good example. Vibhishana also. So then the devotee simply accepts it and says, yes, it's Krishna's taking this away from me, but because the devotee is already attached to Krishna more than anything else, he just accepts it as Krishna's mercy upon him to deepen his attachment, because the devotee never thinks my attachment is complete. He always feels that he needs to be more attached. So Krishna, he sees that the Krishna is doing this to increase my attachment. Even the gopis, Krishna separated himself. Although the gopis are the most attached to Krishna, Krishna separated himself from the gopis to even increase their attachment. That is the nature of pure devotional service. It's that the Lord doesn't leave his devotees in a state of complacency, but he always heightens their ecstasy by deepening their attachment more and more and more. So although Vidura was already attached to the Lord, Vidura said, yes, now Krishna's doing this, acting in this way to deepen my attachment to the Lord. Where sometimes, in some circumstances, for a person who may not be as an attached position and attached to the Lord as Vidura is, he may also be attached to family, friends, society, whatever it may be. The Lord, under those circumstances, may take these things away to help them to detach the devotee from these worldly connections. But in Vidura's case, it was just simply increasing his attachment to the Lord. He was never attached.
Vidura was using the words like, aren't you afraid of Bhima? So isn't it that Duryodhana always got so much disturbed when he heard Bhima's name? And Vidura is explaining to him, giving him good counsel, but at the same time he's telling, aren't you afraid of Bhima? Huh. So that is going to heighten his anger. So isn't it that like Vidura in a way is...
Instigating?
Instigating him to say like that, let me... Because you think you should be afraid of Bhima, and that...
Yeah, the devotee may do that sometimes because he knows the inevitable outcome. Narada Muni does it all the time. Narada Muni did it with Kamsa. Instigated. He wanted to bring about what he knew was going to happen. He wanted to bring it about faster, to expedite. So Vidura was simply expediting Duryodhana's ruination after he realized that Duryodhana wasn't going to change his heart. It was so obvious to him. All right. I'm going to stop. Hare Krishna. Close the Prabhupada.